Well, good morning, everybody, at Ashwood Church. It's such an honour, such a privilege to be able to be here this sunny Sunday morning to be able to share the word of the Lord with you. I know I spoke about it on the interview you watched before, but I just again want to say how grateful and how thankful we all are at Betel for your generosity over this time. We've been astounded that over this lockdown period and this hard time, how generous people have been around the country towards Betel, and what you have given has been daily bread for us. It's been manna from heaven that has been able to keep us, to keep saving lives and to keep helping the most broken and the most destitute people that you can imagine. So I just want to say thank you, everybody. A great big thank you from here in Betel, Nottingham. And you guys are just superstars and superheroes. Today, I just want to quickly just share with you a few points from the scripture. And I just hope and pray that the word of the Lord that is powerful and strong will just come into your heart today in power and strength, so that we can leave today, church, going, I feel that bit more like I should in Christ, that Christ is that bit more the center of my life. Romans 12 says this, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and prove what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will for your life. And I love this scripture because it just puts things very, very simple and very clear. You know, we can fully know in our lives what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is for our lives. It's really easy. It's simple. Simply this. Lay down your whole lives to God. Let God do the work in your life that he needs to do. And you will walk as a child of God who fully knows the will, the purpose, the plans of God in your life. But we do have to lay down our lives fully and committed to serve him without any bars being held. So how do we do that? We do it by not conforming to the pattern of this world, but to be fully in our life who God wants us to be. Not who we think we should be, not on the world who the world says that we should be, but fully be who God has called you to be according to his heart and plan and destiny for your life. So what do I mean? Well, we're living today in this selfie culture. You know, this selfie culture is kind of dominating the world. I mean, there are nearly 3 billion people who have smartphones. Right now, I'm recording this sermon on a smartphone through my camera so you can hear the word of the Lord today. In fact, the whole planet is getting on this trend, this whole selfie trend. And it's said that it's going to grow by several hundred million people in the next few years. And all of those phones have cameras, hence the selfie culture. And in case you've been hiding in a cave over the last 3 years, the selfie culture is when you will see people taking pictures by themselves of themselves. And it normally looks like this. Or in the case of Matt Bell, it's like this. He has this awesome photogenic smile. There are a few statistics that I want to read out to you about it. There are 95 million photos that are posted on Instagram every single day. Facebook has 2.6 billion active users every month. Twitter has 145 million users per month. Daily users, and Pinterest has 335 million visitors every month alone, and it is the fastest growing independent site in the whole of history. You know, as I've been looking into this sermon, I actually found an article about people who literally did die while taking selfies. There was this woman who fell 15 foot onto her head while trying to take a selfie. She was visiting Spain, stopped to take a photo, was balancing off a ledge, and she fell, and she literally died while taking the photo. There was a couple who were visiting Portugal with their children, and they thought it would be a clever idea that if they lean off the edge of this cliff, that they could take this wonderful photo of looking down from the top of the cliff to the bottom of the cliff, only to fall to their death and leave their two children. And the craziest one, I don't know what people are necessarily thinking, but there was a 20-year-old man from Spain who decided that it would be a great idea for his Facebook profile, for his social media, that if he were to climb on top of a train and take a photo of himself on top of this train, only to find that he hit his head on the electric wires and 3,500 watts run through his body, and he got killed instantly. But these strategies really just do show how far people will go in order to take this perfect selfie or to create this perfect online self-image. It seems that people often want to project a far happier online life than what they're really experiencing. And many seem to have these two lives. They have this one online life that they want to show or project to the people around them. And when they have this offline life, which is their true self. And and we try and project this face or this act of what we would like people to see rather than the real face of who we are. One article says this, studies show that this makes us more vulnerable to depression, loneliness, and self-worth. And it's simply because of this. A fake life is no life. There was this other article called Our Double Lives, Dark Realities Beyond the Perfect Online Profiles. And it gives this example of this young 19-year-old girl called Madison. On a Facebook page, it was this perfect image of this lovely, young, beautiful girl. She was a track athlete and won many events. She was very popular at school. She was very educated. She was super successful. Her Facebook profile and her online profile seemed to be the perfect happy image. And in an interview with her mum, her mom spoke about one day when she saw the photos of her daughter on social media, and she went to Madison. She said, "God, you look so happy at that party." And Madison said to her, "Mom, it's just a photo." The very next day, she's taking photos of these beautiful fairy lights in a tree. And the very same day, she throws herself off the top of a building to her death. She was 19 years old. Well, on the outside, in her, how she wanted people to see her, she seemed to be very happy. But there was something wrong. There was something within herself that did not match her selfie self, because they usually don't. Perhaps the very word sums it up: selfie, or simply self. There's another article that says this. It says, "We suffer from low self-worth, and our real problem is low self-esteem and self-love. And the world says if we can love ourselves more, then everything will be okay. But the Bible says something very different. The Bible, which is the very user's manual of life, offers a different view. And according to the scripture, we already love ourselves. For instance, when you look at a photograph, what determines whether that photograph is good? Well, if you look good in that photograph and it's taken from your best angle, or it doesn't show you how many pounds that you've put on over lockdown, well, it will probably be a good photograph. But if you look at a photograph, in it, it's got your wrong angle and you've got a weird smile on and you're pulling a Matt Bell selfie, you know, which for him looks great, for most of us makes it look ridiculous. It determines whether it's a good photograph or not. And if you look bad in that photograph, most people go, oh, that's a terrible photograph. Why? Because we're concerned. We're concerned about self, whether we look good or whether we don't look good. Jesus said this, he said in Mark 12:31, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus saying, you already love yourself, so now you need to love your neighbor just as much. And he says that the real way to find happiness in this selfie culture is not by loving ourselves more, but actually the Bible says this, if you want to find purpose, if you want to find happiness and joy, it actually comes in denying ourselves. The Bible says this in Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. See, there are people today who are trying to find themselves. In an essence, Jesus says, if you want to find yourself, you need to lose yourself. And it really sounds contradicting, but it's not. If you want to find purpose, if you want to find personal happiness, if you want to know the plans of God for you, if you want to fully function in the will of God and what God has for you, you have to deny yourself. And we need to pray and we need to ask Jesus and say things like, God, here's my life. Here's my plans, my aspirations, my dreams, as well as my weakness, my shortcomings, my sins. Because I know, Father, that your plans are bigger than mine. Because your mind is bigger than mine. Your creativity, Father, is bigger than mine. Your plans are better. So, Father, show me how to deny what I want to be able to live in the purpose of what you fully want for my life. God says this, says, I know the plans I have for you. And I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts of peace and not evil, thoughts to give you a plan and to give you a future. And he also says, no eye can see nor ear heard or mind conceived the plans that I have for you. So we have to fully just deny ourselves for the call and the will of God upon our lives. So in order to find ourselves, we must lose ourselves. And this really flies in the face of this selfie culture, which is commonly accepted today. We hear so much about self-worth, about self-image and self-esteem. And Jesus doesn't say, esteem yourself. He says, lose yourself. And if you die to yourself, you will find yourself. We need not to die taking selfies, but rather Jesus says, then we need to die to ourselves. Then we will find what we've ultimately been looking for our whole lives. And what is that? That's God's plan and his purpose for our lives. So what does it mean to die to self? Well, Jesus described the dying to self process as the denying self process. As part of following him, he says in Matthew 16:24, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. He then went on to say this, because that sounds quite, oh gosh, you know, I've got to deny myself. But he actually goes on to say that denying self is actually positive. It's not a negative thing, because he says, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. See, in dying to the self life is the place that we actually begin to discover the abundant life. By depending on God who provides for us so much more than we could possibly ever imagine. And I don't know how we get this so mixed up. If you think about the God that we serve, that he's the God that spoke and that the earth was lit up by the sun, the one who spoke and the stars came into the sky. I don't know why we find it so confusing to think that we can create this better life for ourselves than the creator of the universe. God, who created everything, already knows the plans and the purpose that he has set before you. And they are wonderful. They are powerful. They are things that our mind cannot even could possibly conceive. You know, 20 years ago, I was a raving drug addict, sticking needles in my arm just to try and get by from life. And the only thing that I wanted for my life is to have some sort of normality where I wasn't striving to do silly things to get drugs every day. All I wanted to do was have just some sort of normality, to be able to go out with my friends occasionally, to have my own place where I felt safe. But little did I know that the plan that God has for me was so much more bigger than what my small mind could possibly imagine. What he had planned for me was powerful and far greater than anything I could possibly ever imagine. Jesus puts it this way: unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. We read that in John 12:24. See, part of the life we discover when we give our lives to Jesus is this freedom from this life of self-obsession. It's only then that we can experience the real joy of Christ and then become more accepting, generous, and loving to others. So when we die to self, we set aside our wants and desires. Instead, we focus on loving God and valuing others as highly as we value ourselves. See, as Christians, we've got to want the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And if we want the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, our lives have to be devoted to the witness and the worldwide and the evangelization of the world. That's why Jesus came at Pentecost and he gave the Holy Spirit. He didn't give the Holy Spirit as a self-help program. He gave us the Holy Spirit so we could be witnesses to the world, to take the broken people that come into Battelle, to take the people who you live around, your neighbors, your friends, your family, and be a witness of how you live your life, how you lay down your life for others is the greatest witness of the gospel. And if we live a life like that, we get the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We get the power of the Holy Spirit within our lives to see the witness and the salvation of the people that God has put us in. God has put in our paths. In this life, it moves us away from self-centeredness. It moves us to being more open to being a follower of Christ in Christ-centeredness, who deeply care for other people. And that's how, as Christians, we should be. Not being so consumed with our own self or selfie life, but having a life that is committed to seeing other people find the joy, the peace, the hope, the passion, the purpose that we have found in Christ Jesus. See, if we want to be his disciple, if we want to experience God in our lives to the full, if we really want to know the plans that he has set before us, we must deny ourselves. That is, we must disregard our own interests, die to the willful, selfish, sinful parts of our lives, and we must let go of our plans and what we want to do. See, the issue of dying to self is the stripping away of the layers of sin, encrustedness, and selfishness, which is sanctification, so people can see Christ through us and in us. See, it was the disciples' natural instinct to preserve their own lives that caused them to flee from Christ when he got arrested. But their self-preservation actually resulted in their spiritual loss. The disciples learned this, that a Christian life is not about us, it's about Christ. It's about putting God's will over our will. It's about putting Christ above and beyond anything else, no matter what it costs us. It's the realization that we are His servants. And as such, our goal is to live for Him and glorify Him in everything that we do. See, when we came to Christ, we chose to make Him our Lord. We chose to make Him our Savior. We invited Him to come and live into our lives. We gave Him our whole lives. And in doing so, we gave our will up for His will. And since we chose to become His children and servants, then we must die to ourselves every day, every hour, every minute, every second. See, the greatest hope for each of us as believers is to fully die to ourselves so that we may fully live in Christ. Truly, truly, I say to you, if it's truly, truly, it must absolutely be true. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. But what is this fruit? I don't know about you, but this fruit is everything that I've been searching for in my life. The first 23 years of my life were pretty desperate. But the 20 years that I've been serving Christ, I've been filled with this fruit that God is talking about. And this fruit is the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is what this fruit is. These are the benefits we have when we deny ourselves and we move forward in making Christ the very center of our lives. These are the benefits we get. But actually, really, the benefits that we get are to see lives changed through the power of God made available to us as we deny ourselves and we become a witness by how we live our lives in Christ. So I want to challenge you today. I want to challenge you to look at your life. I want to challenge you to look at what your priorities are, what you put first in your life, and to ask God to come into your life and say, God, what is it I need to lay down so that You can be glorified more and greater in our lives? Because that's what I want, and that is our purpose, to see Christ magnified, Christ lifted high and celebrated by the anointing and the power of God that's in our lives for the salvation of others. I think this is really why the ministry of Batal has been so successful. Because right from the very beginning, from day one, when the first missionaries of Batal began to witness the gospel to the broken and lost people in Spain, they laid down their whole lives. They invited the drug addicts into their home. They sold everything that they had to fund and to keep these people safe and to see them saved in Christ. And a few got saved and caught that same passion. See, that passion is infectious. That passion for Christ, of laying down your life fully, is so infectious that it creates men and women of God who are just sold out fully for Him. So I pray from today and from this message that it would be the word of the Lord to you, that it would help you to change from the inside out, to be more Christ-likeness and a greater witness in this world. So God bless you all. Man, we love you here in Batal. Again, you guys have been solid for us. You guys have been just so full of love and Christ. We honor you. We thank you. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.